What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're rushing to buy tickets to a concert that all your friends are going to. Picture yourself now, crowd surfing to the front, being invited onto the stage, backstage the world tour, and before you know it, you're dancing in Tokyo. Wait, what? Three tickets left? It's a good thing your saved payment details autofill quickly and securely. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Forever Dog.
Hold on to your love.
Got to hold on. Hold on.
I miss the R&B songs. Like, I love a musical, but I miss when people were like begging in a song. You know what I mean? You're just
people aren't begging anymore.
People ain't begging. They're not begging. I'm a step when the voice shook because you were so sad that she was gonna leave you.
I'm down on my knees.
that's the beauty of a musical. Yeah, man. That's how I felt like anytime I watch a musical, like some of the classics, like if you watch The Wiz, the lion is singing, he's begging, oh, cowardly, he's like, oh, and this is so beautiful because he's giving you his soul. Michael Jackson, when he's up there at the Scarecrow, he's like, you can't win. He's sad. All he wants to do is walk and get off of this goddamn cross. You know
what I mean?
What
do you think it is? Is it auto-tune that's stopping us from that?
No, I don't think it is. I think the energy is just different. I think, like, again, if you watch The Wiz, like, it was a different type of brother. It was like the ones that needed his lady. Now niggas be like,
down on my knees.
Woo! Nowadays people be like, all right, cool, I'll find somebody else. And it's like hella toxic. But back in the day, a brother was singing all those musicals, singing in the rain. He is singing in the rain because he in love. He in the rain.
That's true.
I don't know how they used to do singing in musical movies, but I do feel like it's so clean now. Like, it's so like studio clean in musical films now that it does take me out of it. It's so obvious that they're not singing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's because it's like, it sounds like a soundtrack, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about like the way it blends, like in like a Guys and Dolls, for instance, where you're just like, yep, they're definitely singing that right now. Like, it doesn't feel like, even though they were probably also singing over a track of some kind, but it's like, yeah, that's certainly sound. The way that was mixed, it sounds like they're singing that right there.
It's too clean.
Les Mis, they sang on set. They recorded it and played it in the actor's ears. Like, they sang it on set. I think about what they didn't play the actual music live. They just had it in the actor's ear, so it sounded a little off. Where I'm like, nah, man, give me the band. Do that shit like some theater, baby. You know what I mean? Sing on you. Man, they just power through it. Let her know.
I do like musical films, you know, for the most part. There are a lot of them that are good.
I can't think of too many right now. I remember being younger and loving
Chicago,
Carmen and Hip Opera. I remember that with Beyonce and Macaffa.
That's the one you bring up.
Don't just bring up Carmen and Hip Opera. Just like
Hip Opera, bro. I can't remember too many musicals. I really can't think of too many.
Chicago.
I can think of a bunch. Yeah.
Sweeney Todd.
What are we doing? Are we talking about, are we like just trying to name them?
Yeah. Or
what
is that story?
Yeah, what's some of your good, what's some of your favorite musicals?
Okay, all right. Well, I've already talked about Guys and Dolls. I mean, if we're just talking like movie musicals, Greatest Showman is certainly up there.
The Wiz, obviously. The Greatest Showman is good.
It took me forever to watch that, and I only watched it because of
that's how. A movie musical not based off of a original musical.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And then I was in, you know, I was in Annie Get Your Gun. I was in The Secret Garden.
You were singing in musicals?
Yeah, brother. I never had like major solos, you know, mm-hmm. because I didn't want to. I say that meaning I never tried. It's a thing that I keep thinking back in my life, like, man, if I would have like, if I can carry a tune in a way that like, if I would have tried, I don't know, I could probably still be doing that to some degree, you know?
James, you still can.
What role were you in Annie Get Your Gun? Did you play Annie?
Oh my God. this one works better than the one last week. Like last week, what? Like last time, time you just said the name of the movie in a way.
No. I'm so sorry, James. Sorry,
whereas
James.
The bit is dead, James.
The bit is dead. I need you to, you were talking about the fact that you were in Annie Get Your Gun, and I wanted to know which role you played. The only role I know in that is Annie.
Okay, well, I'm glad I didn't get to say the role that I played, because I think it's pretty bad.
What are you talking about? I want you to say the role. I don't know the
anything.
Roles.
We've transitioned.
I only know the titular role.
We're moving into.
I've never seen.
Bray,
it's okay. Have you seen that musical?
Don't do
the
this.
The one about
don't
Get Your Gun,
this.
Annie?
Don't say
don't,
Get
don't
Your
bring
Gun.
Me this.
Leave me out. I'm sorry. That was the wrong syntax.
Maybe
it should have been called Get Your Gun, Annie. It changes what I mean?
We don't have to keep doing this.
That one has some bangers in it. That one has some bangers in it.
Can we
and
start
Oklahoma,
the show?
For as boring as Oklahoma is, Oklahoma has some bangers, okay? And I don't care what nobody says. Mm.
Can we start?
Kiss Me, Kate? Oh, man.
All right,
Kiss
we're
me,
starting
Kate.
The show. Melissa,
who are you in that? Did you
Melissa,
play
Melissa,
Kate?
Cut their mics.
Or were you?
We starting the show.
Annie.
We transitioning. Melissa, cut their mic.
Jonathan Braylock. James III. Draw Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can't jump.
Black actors, man.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Oh, you're not even gonna say tomorrow? Wow.
Nope. That's
oh my goodness. You should have been like, the sun will come out pronto. That's right. The sun is
pronto.
Coming out pronto.
That was good. I like that. I like that bit. I don't think that's in the musical.
Sun will come out pronto. That was funny. Man. No, of course that's not in the musical. The actual music.
It could be.
What?
It could be.
No, there wasn't rapping parents in the actual musical.
They could have
musical.
Tried to do that. Oh, right. Wait, no. They didn't hold auditions because it was just the cousins in the musical. Just Miss Hannigan's cousins or friends.
That storyline wasn't in the musical at all, was it?
It is. Yeah, it is. It is.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It is. It just is not. It's not Bobby Cannavale's character because there is no election. It's like friends of Miss Hannigan or Miss Hannigan's brother or something.
Got it.
And they come in and they sing Easy Street and it's a romp.
Right. They're trying to get some money somehow.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, somehow it would mean they would get money, I guess, from Daddy Warbucks. If I don't remember, but it's something like that.
Thank you for all of you who are listening for the first time and to our returning listeners. Welcome. I don't know what day it is. I think we're in the holiday season still. So happy holidays to you all.
I hope so. We did this movie.
Sure.
We did this movie because it's a holiday film?
That's the reason I agreed to it. That's why I agreed to it. It better be the holidays. It better be. It's the 19th, so this is the holiday movie. 19th, we in the holiday season.
This is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Hey, man. That's
and
my
today
thing.
That's not, that is his thing. Yeah.
You keep going, it Bray. Is,
I'm sorry.
Stop it, James. What are you doing?
We are reviewing the film Annie that came out in 2014. It is not called Black Annie. It is called
Annie. Are we sure about that?
That's what we called it in my household.
Yes.
My little cousin was like, that's Black Annie. And I was like, damn, I didn't even know you knew about White Annie.
It's called Annie. It's a remake. It's just called Annie.
Man, it's called Black Annie, bro. You know it.
All right.
Annie, black as hell. Look good. Stop playing.
She is.
You better stop playing. That girl black. Daddy Warbucks black.
It stars Quvenzhané Wallace.
Black.
Jamie Foxx. Cameron Diaz. Rose Byrne. Bobby.
Yes, I couldn't remember her name. I was like, Rose? But I couldn't remember her last
name. I think she's married to Bobby.
Are they?
She's married to Bobby Cannavale?
Oh, let me, before I mess up, let me.
Do they start dating from this movie?
Yeah, they're married. Rose well, sorry, Byrne. It's his partner. They've been, they said they've been partners since 2012.
Yo.
Oh, okay, so that was before this movie. Or maybe at the start of the filming of this movie. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably when it started, yeah.
Not us?
I've seen him around New York all the time. I ended up being near where he and Chris Rock used to rehearse Motherfucker with the Hat. So I would I would see them all the time.
I interned at Labyrinth during that show and saw Chris Rock for 1 second. And I felt really proud of, we locked eyes. It's like, this is a moment. This means something.
He was good in that play, man. He was good. He was good. That's a good play. That's a good play. I like that play. One of my favorites.
Oh, I forgot to introduce, myself and the other co-hosts of this podcast. And I know you're saying, which person is this talking right now? The person that you're listening to now that sounds like they would be a great candidate for
selling
mayor
out. The selling race out. That's the kind of mayor.
New cancel York
this.
City.
Cancel
that would
cancel
just
this.
Honestly bring definitely some sense and sensibility this. Back into politics.
Probably when
that voice sounds like
definitely
Jonathan Braylock.
Mm-hmm. You're right. That's you. This voice is at a drop. Milligan.
And this voice is James the Third.
You know, the agitated, contested voice in the cartoon voice.
Wow, don't say that about James. Don't say that about James. Wow, that's messed up, James. He's talking about you like that.
It's fine. That is true about me, though.
No, James.
It is true about me. And I own it. I own it.
This movie, what did it make at the box office? I'm looking it up now. Yo. I typed in Annie 2014 box office and autocorrect added in flop.
Oh, no.
That's messed up, man. It made at 136, box office mojo says. Why is that a flop?
What was the budget?
Yeah,
How much did it cost?
What's interesting is that was coming up for me, too. I wonder if people were just wondering what happened with it.
Did it flop?
So
yeah. It says the budget was like 65 to...
Yeah. It made money.
No, not 160.
It made money.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a huge success, but it wasn't, I don't know if you call that a flop.
I think it's one of those things where like you would have expected it to, you know, make some really good numbers instead of like just kind of being like.
Eh. Yeah, it did. It's the opening weekend. It only made 15.9 million, which is somewhat low, I think. Probably. This movie came out during Christmas, but it wasn't a Christmas film. Is there Christmas in the original Annie?
I think so, because it like in this same way, because like we're sort of following her life. But I don't fully remember. I was telling you guys off mic that I know the music very well, but I don't know the show itself as well. I think I only saw the movie. The OG movie once, and I saw it on stage once, and that's I think I saw that Alan Cumming one though. Which one was that? That's not the. Never mind. I've seen it a bunch, but I don't remember. Never mind. This is my favorite musical.
Well, I guess we got to do initial thoughts. Let's, who wants to go first?
Initial thoughts.
I don't want to go first.
I mean, I can go. I'll go first, which is like.
Oh, because I didn't do Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's right?
Bray, don't do this. No, don't do this. Don't do that. You know Rotten Tomatoes.
You don't
is
do
Rotten Tomatoes got spammed, though. Black yeah, Annie. He got spammed. Annie's supposed to be.
Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't even read it. I
so did it get spammed by the reviews? Because the reviews is 28%. Like the critics.
No, it just got judged super heavily by those people.
The audience score is 59%, so that's better than the critics' reviews. That's still rotten, though.
So I'll just say, I'm coming at this from the critic standpoint a little bit. Like, I had trouble connecting to it as an audience member because there's a lot of times throughout where I'm sort of grappling with, like, did this need to be the take? Like, I was doing a lot of, like, this music kind of really feels some of, the, like, the standouts that they kept, like, Tomorrow. And not so much Hard Knock Life, because we have Jay-Z in the back of our minds a little bit with that one. But, like, that and Little Girls and, you know, some of them, like, that, like, maintained a lot of their, not Little Girls didn't maintain a lot of, but the ones that maintained a lot of their original orchestration felt like they just was weird. It felt weird in this kind of modern version of it. And so I had a lot of trouble being like, why? Like, what? Like, why is it like this instead of like just doing it in the 30s with a black girl or whatever, whenever it was originally set or something. So like I had a lot of trouble with specifically that. I did think I thought the girl was good, and I thought the acting, I liked the actors. And I thought there was a lot of funny stuff in it. And I was like wondering like who wrote it. And I saw Eileen, I don't have her full name in front of me, but Crazy Ex-Girlfriend co-creator co-wrote it. And that made me like, oh, that's where a lot of some of the humor comes from. Yeah, there was a few moments where I like legitimately laughed out loud. And then there was a lot of times where I was like, what is this? Like, why did we make this? Some of my favorite songs weren't very good in this one. Like weren't like just like didn't do a good take of it, and I'll talk about it as we get to it, but like NYC from the original stage version and is not in the original movie version is my favorite song, is one of my favorite musical songs in general, but is my favorite song from Annie. And like I appreciate the conceit of this new version that they did with Jamie Foxx. Like I almost thought that they were gonna skip it when I in the structure of the movie. But then when they got to it, I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool. Like that it's like, they're giving the power to her, you know, thought that was kind of cool, but I didn't like the song, you know? So anyway, I mean, I'll talk about the songs more specifically as we get into it, but that's my initial.
Wow. That's going to be the best one.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice, or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earning can help you today. Make earning a part of your financial routine and join Earning's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about earning, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Lay's. Lay's potato chips proudly grow potatoes on over 100 farms across North America. That's right. You're living in a nation full of golden stuff. From 23 million potatoes in Virginia to 366 million potatoes in California in 2022 alone, you can thank your farmers for making your stay golden moments possible. Lay's. Stay golden. To learn more, head to goldengrowshere.com.
Thunderpants!
What are you laughing at?
Laffy Taffy. They have a funny joke on every wrapper, and I love how fruity they are. Banana's my favorite. Want one?
Sure. Mmm, so smooth and chewy.
I like to eat them after school and after dinner and after...
Whenever you need a good LOL?
Yeah! So, here's the joke. What do clouds wear under their shorts?
Thunderpants. That is good. Share a delicious Laffy Taffy moment with the people you love. Head to LaffyTaffy.com to shop now.
It's only going downhill.
I did. I Googled. I think there is like a Christmas tree in the original.
Yeah, yeah. Cause it's, you know, we see her.
But there
life
wasn't
over
in this one,
months.
Right?
They messed up some
There's
stuff.
No... Yeah. They messed anyway, up some whatever. Stuff. They released it in Christmas. Why not have yeah. add an element of Christmas?
Because it's Annie.
But they should have then.
It was like summertime the whole time. Anyway, okay. And that's neither here nor there. Look, I'm not a huge Annie head stan. I don't know. I've seen the original probably like once or twice. Obviously, I know like I've heard the songs before, but I only really kind of know the like Hard Knock Life and Tomorrow songs that are obviously very popular. I will say this. I do think Kovanjane is great. Like, I think she's a very good actress, and like, I think that she has like moments in this movie where I'm like, oh, like they're not there a lot, which I put on the director way more than I put on her. But like, I remember like the scene where she can't read and like she runs out and he's talking to her and then she's like getting mad and upset. Like, I was like, oh, whoa. I kind of like was taken aback because I like was like, oh, right. She's like really good actor. You know, like she was like delivering that scene very powerfully, but it was hard to see that in a lot of things, especially in the songs, because I felt like I really did not like the director of this movie at all. I felt like the direction was like bad on like a variety of levels, you know, like I think it's hard to be fair, not really that fair, but I do think it's hard to direct musicals, you know, especially like dance scenes. It's hard to make it interesting sometimes. And when it's done really well, you're like, damn, that's really good. And then when it's not done well, it's like very obvious. There are so many times in this where I was watching and I was like, this feels so basic and not good. Like it almost sometimes felt like I was watching a TV movie with just, I guess, better equipment. You know what I mean? Like the first Tomorrow song is so disappointing. I don't understand the conceit of why he did what he did. I will get into it more. Anyway, Cameron Diaz, this was rough. Oh man, this was a rough go. And I don't know if it's the director, if it's her, or a combination of the two. I feel like, and Tessa was screaming at the television. I already felt like it was bad, but Tessa was like kept pausing it and was like angrily like yelling at me about why Miss Hannigan is like one of the best characters ever and like how bad like this was, the rendition of this was. I think she got better in the end, to be fair, like towards the end of the movie, it was like, oh, here it is. But it was so cartoonish up top. It was hard. Like that turn didn't feel as earned as it could have been.
I'll just say, I thought it was this movie's take. That was my opinion. I didn't put it on her. Sure. I thought she was doing a fine job within the.
No, and you might be right. I don't. Yeah, the take wasn't great. I mean, like, here's the thing. Jamie Foxx, to me, kind of works within what this is doing, because he's a, you know, he, that's like his personality, like he's able to do the like somewhat comedic thing, but still keeping it as grounded as you know, possible, where it doesn't, it's not, it still kind of feels like a real person. And then like he can drop in the serious moments. Like I think he is a good Daddy Warbucks, and I with a better kind of script and a better director, I feel like I would be like, oh, I want to see him again as Daddy Warbucks, you know, as a better version of this. Yeah, this movie was rough, and I feel like the fact that the director was white, I do think that matters. And I don't know if I can articulate it just yet, but it feels like it matters. This wasn't good. This movie was not good.
This movie was not good. It was terrible. I've seen this movie probably 50 times, and I've never liked it. Anytime I've seen it, this time I think I was really disappointed, because I don't know if you guys have seen it. You probably have. Everyone at home, you probably seen the trailer for the new Matilda that's coming out, and it is fucking fire.
I haven't seen it. It is the musical. They're doing the musical as a movie.
It's a musical. But the thing is, they show one dance sequence and the internet went fucking nuts. Like Missy talk, like,
yeah.
The thing is, it's like, it's still kids, but like, it feels modern and like, it has swag to it. It's like, they got like these little kids. First off, I was like, why this little white girl out here move? Like, what the, like, why are these kids doing this shit? The shit is crazy. The fucking dances look so good. People started taking the Matilda music out and putting like old Missy Elliott shit and stuff like that. And it still hits because it's that good. Like, this movie was produced by Will and Jay-Z, and it's no fucking swag. Like, Pharrell's supposed to help come onto this joint. The music isn't updated. Like, it just feels stale. I looked at the choreographer. It's like some old white dude. The director did Easy A, that Justin Timberlake, like Mila Kunis movie. And I was like, how the fuck?
I like that one, though.
But my point is, how did that person who doesn't come from like a musical background do a goddamn musical? Like, Baz Luhrmann will give you a goddamn production. You know what I'm saying? It just felt disappointing. And it wasn't like the budget was bad. It just felt so half-assed. I was like, who's doing this music, man? Like, even if, you know, some of the singers weren't the greatest, it was like, I don't know who this movie was for. Like, the acting was so cheesy that sometimes I notice that thing where you kind of have to, you know, in a kid's movie, like, it's a little bit bigger, it's a little bit hammier, but I still feel like you have to think that people are real humans. And I felt like no one thought their characters were like human beings at all in this movie. So it was weird. Like, it's funny, the only character I think actually worked was probably Bobby Cannavale, just because he was like a big villain. So he got to just be super villainous. Yeah, Cameron Diaz, I felt so bad for. This is like one of her last movies before she retired. I was like, Jamie, I didn't know what was happening. And the songs were so bad. The songs and dances are so bad. And what sucks is after watching that Matilda trailer, I'm like, you could have done better. It just, also we're in New York and there's like no real wide shots there. They're like at 125th at one point, but there's like a tight shot of the building. And it's like, why is it not a wide shot? She's walking down like another point. Like, I think Jamie's walking down like Fifth Avenue. Why do we not see fucking New York? We're in New York. But like, what's happening? I don't know, man. I was disappointed at almost every aspect of this movie. And it made me even more sad that this was the movie that black girls got. Like, this movie is what black girls got, and it was terrible. It didn't do well. It was terrible. So I don't even know what I'm gonna say about this movie because it was so bad. Like, and this was before Jamie fixed his, like, this when Jamie was going through the hairline process too. So
don't bring up the hair. How dare you bring up the hair?
I'm just saying, you noticed it. Like, he was going through the process still, and I was like, what's happening? What's happening? Why didn't a black person direct this fucking movie?
I don't know. I don't know why a black person didn't direct it, why a black person didn't help write it, why did black people not do the music either? Or did,
like, why didn't Lori Ann, what's the woman who always does all the Bad Boy videos? Like, she's like the most famous black choreographer. Like, you didn't get fucking Debbie Allen. You didn't get, what's the hip hop woman named? Like, Lori Ann Gibson, I think her name is. It's like, you ain't get none of these people. You got this white dude named, what's this dude's name? I'm gonna put his name out there. Zachary, the choreography was by Zachary Woodley.
But to that point, I mean, that was my biggest problem was that it was like living and trying to live in both worlds, like trying to both be updated while also being like, we're probably not going to change a single note of tomorrow. You know, it's like, well, I don't, you know, you can't have ultra produced, even though I kind of understand the conceit behind it, but you can't have the ultra produced You're Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile and then have maybe the first song in the movie be the essentially the same way it is on the stage. Like, it's like you pick a lane, because if you are trying to be in both the whole time, it's going to be like a Frankenstein monster of a movie. And that, yeah, and you know, they could have like leaned into that stuff more. Matilda's a new musical. I know it's an update of that movie, but it's of that story, but it's a new, that musical is only like 10 years old. So it's like, that does have the benefit of already being modern to an extent.
I don't even want to talk about this movie. This movie's so bad. I was watching this movie and I was just shaking my head the whole time. You ever like, you know what it is? Have you ever like been somewhere and you like watch a show or you eat something and you're like so hype and you eat it and you're just like you almost feel like something dies in you a little bit and it's like, this could have been great. Like, I literally was watching this movie and there's a point in the movie, Jimmy Fox. And the Jimmy Fox takes the Annie and her friends to a movie premiere and they're like, what are you wearing? And he's like, this is Armani. And then she's like, I've got this from my friend. And I was like, this moment should be cute, but it's like annoying. And it's so crazy because we just watched Fantasy Football, which is a kid movie as well, but it felt like it was just, you know what it was? I felt like it was a kid's movie that took the kid in the movie seriously. Whereas like this movie felt like they was making it for fucking toddlers, but they wanted it to be black. But then there was no real black people on the creative side. Like, a black person didn't write it. Like, a black person didn't direct it. A black person didn't choreograph it. And it's like, you got no swag. I'm not even like, what music, what did Pharrell do? Pharrell, like, you made the goddamn Minions have hits. That goddamn Minions song.
If Pharrell does he have a credit on the final?
Let me see.
Because if he does, then the thing he did was he added, like, you know, some bass and some synth to a couple songs, you know, but really a lot. And then there are some songs that they like rewrote in a way that like didn't help. Like, I Think I'm Gonna Like It Here was bad. I thought that was bad. I thought like it was
Sia, a guy named Greg Kirsten, and a white dude, another old white dude named Charles Strauss. And I'm like, yo, y'all motherfuckers, it just made me sad. It's like,
yeah, well, did Strauss do the original? I feel like
he did
Strauss
do the original. He did do the original, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're not going to do it right, don't do it. Like, what were you doing? And, like, you didn't.
And it also feels like, it feels like one of those situations where they're, like, getting notes like that. Like, where somebody's like, well, this has to be, you know, remember the original. Yeah, do blah, 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 blah. You know, like, it's like, felt like it was a lot of, like, too many cooks in the kitchen and then also not enough.
I don't know.
People of
especially
color
consider
on the creative team to make it be a thing.
Yeah. This movie felt like a movie where white people were just having conversations about how to make sure it stays like black, but they didn't have no black people they were talking to. I mean, seriously, a white writer, a white director, a white choreographer for Black Annie? This movie tastes like unseasoned chicken. That's what this movie was.
And also, wasn't this Jay-Z produced as well, or
it
no?
Was, yeah, it was Jay-Z, Will Smith.
Well, what the hell?
Honestly, I expect that from Will, to be honest.
No, Will. No.
If you'd have told me this movie was produced by Forrest Whitaker, I'd have been like, this movie would have been done different.
What did Jay-Z do? Did he just collect a paycheck? Like, I was like waiting for Empire State of Mind to start playing. As a replacement for the New York song. I was like actually waiting for that. I was like, because NYC, the OG version of NYC is like classic, little jazzy, and then it breaks off into like very show tuney kind of song, but it's a love letter to New York. And I was like, yo, Jamie Foxx on like an Empire State of Mind-esque song about New York. Like, I couldn't wait for it. Like, I was like very excited for that song. And then the one we got was like, I mean, he did his thing, But it was like, I don't know, this song is y'all just sitting in a helicopter. Nothing's happening. Like, that was the scene to like see people dancing through the streets in New York and like, you know, and swinging off of scaffolding and doing backflips on the subway. And like, like that was the song for that, you know. But anyway.
Uber One will save you.
Uber One will save you.
La 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 la.
Uber One will save you.
Uber One will save you on all your eats. The savings can't be beat. Up to 10% off your orders.
Join Uber One. Members save up to 10% on Uber Eats. Get that stuck in your head. $0 delivery fee and percentage off discount subject to order minimums and participating stores. Taxes and other fees still apply.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Yeah, I mean, I could go through the specific things that were different from the musical that I liked, you know, and I can just say those things really quickly.
You already talked about how you didn't like Hard Knock Life. Hard Knock Life.
Yeah, and NYC, I talked about that as well, pretty in depth. I mean, okay, and then just like there were some things I said out loud, just like no, like so the dog Sandy, the dog's name is Sandy, and they're like the dog's like a hurricane. We're going to name her Sandy. I was like, why? That wasn't unnecessary. That was just like, why did they do that? That was made me so mad. They cut out I Love You, Miss Hannigan from It's a Hard Knock Life. It's small, but my goodness, it's a thing that they hate about Miss Hannigan is that she makes you say, I love you, Miss Hannigan. And they didn't cut I Love You, Miss Hannigan from the movie. It's still in the movie. And there's a point, it's the series of rhymes at the end of It's a Hard Knock Life. And they do it a million times. They kept that, but cut I Love You, Miss Hannigan. And I swear to you, I'm a purist and I can't believe that that was not it. Like it ruined the movie for me. That's maybe the second or third song in the movie. That's why I didn't like the rest of it. Like the rest of it was like, I couldn't even get on board for the rest of it because they took out this integral piece of lyric. I'm just trying to, I want y'all to understand. I already talked about Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile, Empire State of Mind. Yeah. Oh, and the Trump stuff doesn't age well at all. the Trump stuff doesn't age well in the slightest. It's really hard to watch this movie being like, isn't Trump hilarious? Because he certainly isn't hilarious. So every Daddy Warbucks Trump thing they tried to do, it was just like, ah man, it just doesn't age well. So anyway, that's it, I guess. And maybe if anything else comes up, I'll respond to it. But that's what I...
Well, the Tomorrow song was so bad. And so that what they did was like, first of all, they start her singing in a puddle. She's singing to a reflection of herself in the puddle.
Because the sun will come out tomorrow, you know? And the sun is... tell herself.
The sun is out when she's singing, which is fine.
But it'll come out tomorrow.
Now, they do this whole reflections thing where she's seeing herself in the reflection of the puddle. Then she sees herself in the reflection of, like, a telephone booth and the bus and, like, a window of the... You like the reflections?
Because the reflections were kids? I thought that was... I liked that. I didn't like this song, and I didn't like this... I didn't like the way that they did the song, but I did think it was cool. That in her mind,
I'm not talking about when
she was.
Yes,
I like
other
that
kids
part.
Or like other
I
families.
Like that part. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But there was a lot of it that was just her, and it was like it felt like. It was like, why aren't we on Annie? Like, why is the camera? It felt like the camera did not want to be on the star of the movie.
I'll take that. But it was like, because what was happening in those moments, though, was in the back. I feel like in the background of almost all of those reflections was a kid. But it was happening. It happened. There were small little glimmers of it at first. And then at the end, we see all of them on the butt, like in the bus reflection. But it was like slowly happening in the beginning. I did not like this. So that's that was something that I liked. So I'm sorry.
I didn't know those kids.
It's like one of the one cool things.
Yeah,
they did.
Who are they? Yeah. Who are these kids?
I didn't know these kids.
The kids
I don't
in her
know.
Mind that are enjoying their lives and that she wants to be. Why y'all shitting on the one thing I like?
I ain't know her yet. Show me the, like, you do that after everything goes. You do that after Daddy Warbucks screws her over and now she's like, I can't trust nobody. I couldn't, like, I didn't know her yet.
A callback to that would have been dope. a reprise? Because I think there is a Tomorrow reprise.
Does that song come in that? Yo, there is. But, well, there is at the end of this movie, too.
No, it is in Act One. Yeah.
Oh, it is that kind of
one. This is a movie. Yeah. I have rarely seen a movie that didn't truly care about its lead protagonist as much as this movie. And what I mean by that is it felt like she had. Okay, this is the thing. I understand that, like, so I haven't seen Annie, but I've seen, like, I don't know. I feel like I've seen movies like this. Like, for instance, like a Pippi Longstocking, a character who is, like, super optimistic.
Coming into your world? Character
Leave me alone. Stop it. My point is that Annie is in this movie and she's so optimistic. And at a certain point, what's the best way to put it? It felt like they didn't know what to do with her. Like, they didn't want her to be like a super sad character. It felt like, oh, we want her to be super optimistic, even though everyone is like dicks. We don't really comment on it. And then she gets sad. Like, the only thing that makes her truly sad is like her parents. But like almost nothing else. And it just, like, I don't know, man.
That just reminds me though that this movie opens with White Annie, the White Annie that we know from the show, and like doing all of the, so she like even tap dances, and that made me laugh out loud. But truly, like, they took away the, like, the gusto, the spunk, to use the, like, sort of the antiquated language for it. But they took all of that stuff out of, like, what makes Annie Annie when they're like, and now she's Black and she's kind of sad, but kind of hopeful, too, I guess. And she's not really going to dance. And, you know, White Annie tap dances. This one,
but then she
really
does,
doesn't.
But then she, like, makes everybody else dance. Like, it's like
right, she makes everybody
like,
else dance. Yeah.
And then the teacher is like annoyed at her at and the teacher's like, good job. And then I was like, who is this person? Like, I actually don't like the, that's actually such a great example of like that first scene was so confusing. It gave you a good idea of who this character was. It was like, first she pops her head up and she's like, are you sure I have to do this report? Or like, you know, isn't it like time to go? And so you're like, uh-oh, like, she's not doing her report. And then you're like, oh, right. No, she did do her.
She just didn't write it.
Not only that, but she knows it fully in her head and, like, has a
she knows
routine.
It fully in her head and, like, and does this incredible performance, interactive performance where she gets everybody else to be in it. The teacher
and the
likes
teachers
it.
Expect, and not, but not only that, but was expecting it to a degree. Was he's like, oh,
yeah,
course
at first he's like, oh,
it.
Here we go. But then by the end of it, he's like, great job, Annie. And you're like, wait, what? Who? So who is this person? Is she good at school or not? Like, I can't, like, is she skating by or is she, you know, like, it was like, it would be what if she was just like doing this whole performance or whatever and like kind of didn't actually do my homework. But like, but then you're like, well, she knows all the facts. She does. Like, I don't know. It was just bizarre.
If she was really half-assing it, that's one thing. But instead, it lived in this weird world of like she was all of the adjectives you could put on her. She was them, depending on what they wanted you to see in that moment of the movie. All within the first five minutes.
This movie was the equivalent of Black Catwoman. Okay, and what I mean by that is, it feels like you had a bunch of people who didn't know how to let a character be in their natural essence. And by that I mean, I'm like, this movie wanted to be black. You had Jamie Foxx. Jamie didn't have on like cool. He had no swag, which is like so unheard of for Jamie Foxx. Like Jamie Foxx had more swag in that vampire movie where he's supposed to be poor. You know what I mean? Like in that movie, he's supposed to be poor, but he had so much swag. So I didn't necessarily like. No one was likable. And the thing that's so crazy about
it is like Rose Byrne. I liked she had that one monologue that they had at first where she like. Where she like goes on and on and on and like volunteers too much information about herself. I mean, I'm not sad.
Oh, in the car.
Like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did like that.
I mean, yeah, man.
That's maybe the one thing that I liked.
I just feel disappointed. It's like, you know, I feel like they rarely give like black people, especially black girls, like how many coming of age stories do we have with like black girls in it? Or like, I mean, take every minority group of color. Like, there's so many like ladybirds with a white girl learning some shit. But like to see Black Annie and then almost like see like the blackness a low key kind of stripped away. Like they were in Harlem. They were in Harlem, and I'm like,
they also sort of like they, you know, to an extent, what they chose to do with Bobby Cannavale's character is essentially what they were doing with making Annie black to begin with. Oh my gosh, blackness is in. Like being woke is in. And so we're going to do this. We're going to take this thing that has nothing to do with this particular culture and we're going to make it about this and we're going to make $1 billion in the box office.
But like not actually like yeah, and like barely touch the culture and like God. It does kind of feel offensive. Like this was the one it actually really encapsulates what was happening in this time where it was like diversity was a buzzword, but instead it's like you're like, "Oh, you think diversity is just like putting in a black face, you know, and then you did your job." It's like, "Oh, look, we made Annie black." Like, give us a pat on the back. No. Like, you need to do more than that. First of all, the fact of the matter is, like, so many people behind the, like, it's like, okay, so you had Annie and Daddy Warbucks be black, but, like, the director is white, the screenwriter is white, the, like, you know, musical composers, well, I'm sure the editors were white. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure, like, most of the people behind the scenes were white. I'm sure of it. It's funny, like, we'll get a, like, somebody will comment and be like, actually.
I'm the editor. One of the editors. The editor listens to this podcast, and it's like, well, I.
That would be amazing.
I mean, editor, tell us what really happened. They'd be like, yeah, bro, I was trying to put some different music in there. I was like, hey, we should add. They had no, there was no 808. They had no drums in these fucking songs.
Doesn't make any sense.
The songs were so bland. They were so bland.
I think we're gonna like it here is a very the way that it is on stage is a very exactly what you think of like 1939 or whenever I still don't really know when Annie came out, but in the I think it was 30s because or 80s. The movie came out in the 80s, but what was it, the musical? 50s, 60s? Anyway, I think we're gonna like it here is it's about the Great Depression. So that's why I keep jumping back. But I don't know when the musical came out. Anyway, that song is a very exactly what you think it would be for the stage. And they updated it for this. But that was another time where we could have had like 50 people dancing in Daddy Warbucks' home. And like, it could have been like a big spectacle song. But instead, it was just Annie and Rose Byrne like doing a step ball change. Thank you. 76 is what those was the first musical. Doing step ball change on the roof. It was just like, what? That is it's a big spectacle song, and it was like the most average thing to watch.
Cause the thing is, like, the budget for this movie wasn't low. So I'm just wondering, like, or maybe it was low, and I just don't know. The budget for Moulin Rouge was $50 million. Even though it came out 10 years prior, let me look up Les Mis. The budget for Les Mis, which came out in 2022, was $61 million. This movie came out 3 years later, and it was between 68 and 75. So Annie, 24 budget.
It was the helicopter.
The budget for Annie was between 65 and $78 million. And I don't understand where the money If you look at the goddamn trailer,
it went to Jay-Z and like Will Smith, it like went to them. Like they got a big cut of this for putting their name on it.
Do you think that's true?
I do. I do. I do think. Well, what did Jay-Z do? If Jay-Z's name is on this movie and not a single song, you didn't leave this going, but that one song was fire. Not a single song. then Jay-Z got paid a hefty portion of that budget. Like, there's just no way that isn't true. And they were like, we need Jay-Z to sign off on this because Hard Knock Life was so big. Like, someone just, they were doing this regardless.
But then they didn't they even like, do a Jay-Z Hard Knock Life song. Yeah.
No. No. No.
It doesn't make any sense.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to taste the flavoriest flavor to ever flavor?
Mmm.
Snapple is ridiculously flavorful. And you can uncap a Snapple real fast with every bottle. Like, cows produce more milk when they listen to music. Come on, leave the ridiculousness to Snapple and grab one of your favorites that pack a punch. Explore all of the delicious flavors at Snapple.com.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Whatever you're into, with Amazon Prime, you can go deep. So if you're all about pop right now, you could watch pop documentaries on Prime Video. Discover pop playlists on Amazon Music Prime. And if you're really serious, order a rhyming dictionary with fast free shipping from Prime. From shopping to streaming to saving, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Honestly, then I do, you know, I do put blame on Jay-Z and Will and Jada for this movie. They do deserve, because they were, if they were only vanity producers, then shame on you for not getting involved. And if you got involved, then what happened? Why did you allow this to happen? You know what I mean? And that's the thing. It's like, and here's the thing. Here's my other thing about this. The guy who directed this, and I don't hate this director. The guy who directed this directed Friends with Benefits, which I think is like an easy A. Those are good movies. But they're not musicals, one. They're comedies.
They don't star black people.
And they're very white. Yes. Both of those movies are very white. And it's like, okay, that's a good director for those movies, but that's not what you're making. Like, and there's so many black people involved in musical theater. It's like, it's frustrating.
Yeah,
that it feels like they did not do their due diligence.
Ask Ben Vereen what he's doing and have him
get Lori.
Have Ben Vereen come in for a day.
get Lori Ann. This movie felt like to what Bray's point is, it's like, yeah, those movies he did were funny and they were really good, but they were so white. But if I own Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, okay, I'm not going to hire the nigga from Boston Market, okay? Boston Market is a very tasty meal. It is affordable, it is tasty. But the stylings of the food is different than Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle.
I mean, like, unless you're trying to change up Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle. That's the only reason you would do it is if you're trying to change it.
The name's still Roscoe's. I'm selling it to you like this is Roscoe's, and you show up and you get some half-ass seasoned fucking meatloaf. James, you don't get no waffle. James, you don't get no chicken. You don't get no chicken. You get meatloaf. Tasty meatloaf, but it ain't seasoned the way you would get it if it was seasoned at Roscoe's. But they took little black girls. I took my cousin and five of her goddamn friends to see this movie, and they were smiling, and I could see, you know, when you're young, like even now, we all probably have movies, like when you're young and you can't quite articulate that you just watched something bad. You know what I mean? Like, they're like,
yes,
like
you're Batman super and Robin. Excited.
Batman and Robin, Bray. See? It's like, I didn't know what was bad.
I think I liked it when I first saw it.
Bro.
Oh, wow.
I liked it. I knew it was off. Once I heard.
I think I did. Chill. That's all Alicia Silverstone, right?
Yeah.
Chill.
Yes. I did like her in that.
Yeah. I liked her for sure.
My 8-year-old self.
Yeah.
I liked her for sure.
Did like her in that. I was like,
Uma Thurman? I liked her and Uma Thurman. I guess that's all I liked.
I mean, well, yeah, you guys were fucking young boys.
I liked Clooney also, just in general. I thought he was smooth, but I don't, but the movie as a whole. He was smooth.
I don't know if I liked Clooney then, but I remember when he took out the bat card. When he took out the bat card, I remember going, that is silly. And then I remember when Bane, who I did not realize at the time was like an absolute abomination of a version of that character. But yeah. I remember when Bane, little toxic juice, like the way that Chris O'Donnell, Robin beat him was by just kicking a tube out and then he shrunk. And I was like, that's stupid. I distinctly remember thinking that was dumb, watching that in theaters. I was so hyped for that movie as a little kid.
I'm gonna watch that after this.
Don't do that, James.
No, because it was the first Batman movie I saw in theaters. The other ones I saw on TV.
Word?
I think I saw Batman Forever. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Batman Forever.
Also, I shouldn't have saw it, but everyone knows Batman Returns is my favorite one. I'm pretty sure, I don't remember, but I had a Batman Returns party when I was in kindergarten, which is so inappropriate.
I don't know that it is. Is it?
Because, I had a Batman little figurine that came on a cake and a Catwoman, and I remember a girl took it because she was Catwoman and I was Batman, and I was like looking at
it. Why is it inappropriate though? Your kids don't know what's happening. Like, they don't know the sexual stuff that's happening.
You know that a man biting off another man's like nose is not great, I would say.
I'm gonna show that to my daughter.
Don't you dare. Maddie doesn't need that. Don't you fucking dare. Don't you dare.
She's gonna see Batman Return.
Don't you dare. You know what? I'm done with this.
Is there anything else we have to say? The end of this movie. The other thing that I didn't like was her big song, which actually I kind of like that song where she's singing at the benefit in the Guggenheim. But again, it was like so weird. Like there was not a lot of close-ups on her. I also thought the lighting was bad. And I rarely think about lighting when I'm watching movies.
I thought there was a lighting in this movie a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, the lighting is not good. Like, it's very harsh. Like, it's not making her pop. It doesn't, like, I was thinking about West Side Story and how every single character in West Side Story looks so epic and cool. And like, it's like, it gives you that like grand feeling of like, whoa, like this is a movie star. This movie did not do that for Q at all.
Nope. No.
There was never a moment where it was like, boom, like there she is. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the camera did not love her. And I blame that entirely on the director. Sorry, director. Will, I think is your name. Still cast us in stuff, though. Anyway.
still cast us in stuff.
Yeah, do better. And that'll be like, you made
that'd
up
your,
for it.
Yeah, that'll be your payback for doing these bad. I mean, look, all I know is at the end when like, look, not too much can save this, but I do think what could have happened was I imagine just like one of those old school 80s boombox that's like sliding into the music, like you know when they're doing the last little musical like Tomorrow or whatever? Imagine like a little boombox sliding in and then Annie being like, oh my God, what is this? And she presses play and it's Shazam and Kazam pops out and he's like, oh, well, y'all doing a musical number. Let's get in it. And next thing you know, it's Shazam and all the kids and like Jamie, and now, Kazam out here like rapping, like, and
let me just
like,
talk
tomorrow.
To Hollywood real quick, okay?
First you ain't doing Shazam. You ain't doing Shazam.
I got a few things I need to say to Hollywood. First of all, you don't need to just do a black version of stuff. That's number one. You don't need to do a black version of stuff. That's number one. Number two, if you are going to do a black version of something, then you need to have a black creative team, okay? Get a black director in here. Get some black musical composers up in here. And if you're going to get black people involved,
black choreographer for sure.
Yes, people should collect a paycheck, okay? Will Smith's allowed to collect a paycheck. Jay-Z's allowed to collect a paycheck. But also, you should get people to come in to actually have some creative input and tell you that that shit has sauce or not, okay? That's what you got to do, Hollywood. None of this, I know Annie is tried and true, but you can't phone this shit in. You got to make sure you do your due diligence, Hollywood.
I love it. It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether it helped the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. So if it fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we feel like this film didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. On the count of three, raise up our ratings for Annie 2014.
Okay, there it is. There it is.
Gerard, it's not based on how much we liked it. All right, we got one black fist, one white palm, and
it nothing. Got nothing for me. Because this movie didn't help nobody. The only thing I've seen her in after this was an episode of Black-ish. I think she had like two episodes of Black-ish. She should be a star. If this was fucking Timothy Chalamet or the other little white boy from The Room, they would have had fucking close-ups. Their skin would have been glowing. The sun would have just hit them in the perfect way in light. And they never did that for this black girl. They never fucking did it. At one point, this black girl, who is a foster child at the beginning of the movie, I'll be very particular about it because they talk about her hair. By the end of the movie, when she is fucking rich and singing Tomorrow, she doesn't do the goddamn black, like the swan thing. She doesn't become like, they didn't get like the perfect curl. I was annoyed by that. She didn't get like the super dope solo song. At the end of the movie, her and Jamie didn't like, I don't know, one do a rap, one sing, and then it got like the beat change on them. You know, like when you hear a breakdown where fucking Drake is on a song and the beat just changes for no reason. She didn't get none of that shit, okay? She got none of it. She didn't even, like, can you think of any of her friends in the movie's names?
No, but to be fair, I don't think.
Well, I didn't realize how little she did after this. I'm like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have given a fist. But I gave it a fist because she did get to star in it. And as bad as the movie was, I do think a lot of people, like, they know about it. And they're like, and if you were like, yeah, like, you know, that's the actress from who played Annie in the Black Annie. Everybody knows what you're talking about. So,
yeah, I mean, I gave it a palm because there's a lot of, I think, problems behind the scene. It feels like once you watch it, it feels like there were problems behind the scenes that led to this movie being made. And so for that, I feel like it doesn't deserve a fist. But I also didn't feel like I could give it nothing because, like, yeah, like that is she. There's a Black Annie now, you know, Oscar nominated. Q is you know the lead of this. It's a shame that she hasn't done too much after this, but I don't think the fault is Annie. You know, I think that's a bigger. I feel like that's a bigger kind of issue at play, which is also one that you know people talk about. You know, the best actress curse. She was an actress, writer, supporting. And regardless, there's the curse of being a nominated woman in Hollywood. And don't be black and don't be a child also. There's gotta be all of these things for how the industry is stacked against her in this particular case. Stuff to be proud about it, and then things that are frustrating about it for sure.
Thank you all so much for listening. You can find us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have links to merchandise there that we sell via TeePublic, t-shirts, things like that. Pretty dope. Maybe a holiday gift. I think there's some holiday sales there. So check that out. We have a defunct Patreon. There's a year's worth of episodes on there that you can listen to for $5 a month until you've listened to them all, and you can unsubscribe whenever you want. But if you want to check that out, you totally can. We also do shows at UCB Theater. First Sunday of every month, except we won't have one this January, but we will have one in February. Just so look out for that if you're in the Los Angeles area. And if you rate and review us and give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. Let's see. This is Good Luck Peep. 2 black fists for me. I really love this show. I started listening to it during the pandemic when it became part of the MAU. Melissa Auditory Universe. Oh, shout out. Shout out producer Melissa. And I got hooked. You guys are so funny and insightful. Jonathan, don't get rid of your bits. Sometimes they're a hit or a miss, but the anger that comes from James and Gerard is pure gold, which makes for a great comedy. Also, James III, I don't want you to get rid of your insert character from another film bit, but maybe we move away from the birds. From the birds? Oh, yeah. Gerard, I'm so glad you're done with the swirl thing, but stop taking James's bit. I like when you did what you would do if you were in Beast, so maybe keep with that. WWJD, what would Gerard do? I know that Jonathan and James' wives have been on the podcast, so I take it Gerard is single. So I'm going to do so virtual. I'm going to do some virtual matchmaking. I know someone who's a successful, beautiful Black woman. Wow, you both yell about the same things on your respective podcasts. You both are hot nerds that are into comics, and you're both short.
Okay, wait. I just have to say that Gerard is not, he had to run, so he's not present to hear this being read. And I feel like we need to read this again when he's here.
We 100% will read this next episode. She got nominated for an Emmy. Don't you want to go to the Emmys? He does. When I heard Melissa talk on one of her podcasts about going to see Black Adam, which someone who famously hates movies, I wondered if it were you. And then I heard you on BMCJ that you went with her. So seems like you both at least get along. Why not try dating if you're not already? I'm sure that I'm embarrassing Gerard and Melissa, and Jonathan is probably getting secondhand embarrassment reading this, but it's worth it for Black love.
Wait, is this poster trying to set up Melissa and
Gerard? Is it Melissa?
All right. Well, this is a little weird. I mean, we've
what
been
a
working
turn.
We've all been working together for 2 years. How long has it been going on? 12 years now?
Wait, Melissa, you got nominated for an Emmy? Oh, a Grammy. That makes sense. Three Black Fists. Draw. Taken. My apologies, but I'm on the mission to find Melissa a good man because she brings so much joy to my life. Aw. I wonder if you know who this is.
This is just hardcore Melissa fan that just dropped. Okay. That's what's up.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Forever. Dog. Forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!